Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the podcast as timeless as Charlie Brown's Christmas and more delightful than free cake. We are here to have a fresh in the trenches dialogue about motherhood, womanhood, basically adulthood. And we make sure that you know we are not experts. I am Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad that you're here with us today. Hannah, it's almost Christmas.
I know. I cannot believe it. I feel so frenzied. But I think I'm finally starting to get things checked off. So
I think that I feel like I'm supposed to feel frenzied. So I'm trying to like create that because it's the season. But yeah. I don't know that I do. It's an odd way to feel.
Yeah. And since I'm room mom this year,
right,
it's been a lot. It's like little things to remember.
Well, I'm so worried that I'm going to be the most extra at our preschool, like in a bad way. So we don't have a room mom. So every time we have a party, the teacher emails out who, you know, wants to do this party. And I'm always the first one to respond. Like her emails come in. I'm like, ooh, 30-second response rate. And I'm like, I'm happy to do it. And then I'm like, Caroline, calm down. Because David was like, I don't really know that you have the bandwidth to be room mom. And I'm like, okay, I agree. So let me do every single party.
Yeah. Let me just real quick prove you wrong. But do you feel like when they send those things out, you kind of feel like they're asking you?
Oh,
like, do you
I know
feel like
they
some
are.
Responsibility to say like, oh, like if you were to not respond or like say no, you feel like they would be like miss, like you would be letting them down.
Oh,
that's certainly
100%.
How I feel.
Oh, yeah. That is the core of everything that I do.
Yeah.
And I feel like even though it's a group email, it is addressed to me.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, Miss Stacy really wants my help. So, Miss Stacy, if you're listening, I will help with the Valentine's party. Thank you.
And you can just go ahead and save the time you're going to write out that email.
And don't worry, I'm not just going to bring the plates. I will do the treats. Thanks.
You could just go ahead and discourage anyone else from attempting their own thing. But that's why I signed up to be room mom, because by the time I got there, it was a blank space still. And I'm like, well, I got to do this then.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want to let the teachers down and you want to be involved in your kid's life. I get it.
Yeah. I do. Passan's aunt gave me some really good advice about being super involved. And I'm like following it to the letter.
Did she say to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was her advice.
Yes. She was like, I've chosen all my kids' friends. They still don't know.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Well, you know what? So some of people that I know from middle school have been listening in, and I found that out the hard way when they've identified people I've talked about. But I don't think anyone from third grade will listen to this. So Miss Hall's class in Knoxville, Tennessee, shout out. That was since I loved that year. But since then, my mom has been like, that was actually not like our preferred class for you because of the kids that were in it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Gossip.
Because I thought that everybody was like, should be my friend. But apparently it wasn't. They weren't the prime pick of friends.
This isn't the pick of the litter.
No, it sure wasn't. But, you know,
she and Passan's aunt would have quite a lot to talk about.
Yeah, about carefully curating social circles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was like convinced. She was like, yeah, this way you get to know everybody's like story and stuff and like who you want to be friends. I'm like, this is the smartest thing I've ever heard parenting advice wise.
Granted, we kind of do that in the commune.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. At the time of this recording, we're just a few days away from a joint second and fourth birthday party for my oldest two. And I did text Hannah while I was planning it because I was like, okay, if I invite everyone in our commune, that's like 13 kids, and then add in preschoolers and other outside friends. And I'm like, this is like an entire Chuck E. Cheese.
It is.
But we're doing it at home. It should be fine.
Yeah.
We'll add it in the show notes if it was a fail. You'll hear it in an upcoming.
We'll
it sounded like a good
as
idea.
As weird as that's going to be to get an overshare from us. But at the same time, this is definitely not, like, it's just so funny. I don't think I ever had a birthday party. Like,
at all?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, we didn't do, like, big friends' birthday parties.
Sorry, I was waiting for you to finish that sentence. You're going to say, like, I never had a birthday party that. Sorry.
No. No, I mean, like, we celebrated,
full
like,
stop.
With
family. Never had a birthday party.
I'm just going to pause right now because I know my mom is going to text me.
Oh,
and be like,
about your birthday parties.
You're making it sound like we didn't. No, we just did family stuff and I didn't feel like I missed out. Am I forgetting?
Well, I hope that Ed and Nan will set you straight if you are.
Yes, they are. Follow them next episode.
We didn't have very extravagant birthday parties. I mean, they're at home and I think that's why I have this affinity for at home parties.
Right. Yeah. I like that. I was never like sad. And yeah, I had a summer birthday.
Half. Oh, yeah, same. So it was like always pool parties, which was great. I'm so thankful for Jane Ellis. I mean, for many reasons, but probably the top of that list is that she's a summer baby, so we can have pool parties for her. So thanks, Jane Ellis.
Yeah, because these girls are just getting Santa-themed parties exclusively.
Exclusively. Maybe a New Year's theme thrown in there, but
yeah.
Enjoy your holiday life.
Well, that is a good lead-in for my question.
Go on.
It's a two-part question. Do you do Santa and Elf on the Shelf? Mm-hmm. And is this different than when you thought you would do before you had kids?
Oh, well, I can't wait for you to answer that same question, but, we do Santa and,
to what extent?
I think the fullest extent. I don't know. I mean, we
we hire reindeer and a Santa lookalike.
Santa lives with us. No, we do Santa. We talk about Santa. Santa brings presents. You know, here's the thing. I believed in Santa until I was in seventh grade. And I approached my mom in seventh grade and said, I'm starting to think that maybe Santa isn't real. And I know that she was like, oh my God, thank you for finally realizing this. Cause that's a long time.
Susan was probably like, oh.
Oh, wow. But like even as adults, Santa visits us still. But the reason was Santa didn't wrap any of our gifts. And my parents would give us like one wrapped present. So our rationale forever was Santa has to be real because there is no way that mom and dad would buy us all this stuff. We had we were just like, this is above and beyond. Yeah, our parents are not this nice. So, you know, whatever works. So I guess I'm trying to teach my kids the same thing.
You get nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely talk about Jesus a lot. That is definitely our prime focus, but I don't think that talking about Santa and celebrating, or not celebrating, but having Santa present takes anything away from the nativity story. As for Elf on a Shelf, we do not do the full branded Elf on a Shelf because
expensive.
Lord knows I have nothing else that I can think about doing than moving that. But we do have an elf and we grew up with an elf. So my mom's mom had these kind of creepy looking elves that she had like, I don't know, in the 60s. So we always had them growing up and they would move around every now and then. And it was like, oh, they're watching. And that
was alive.
Yeah. And so we just do the same thing. We have an elf. When I remember to move him every 5 days, he does move. And that is pretty exciting for the kids. So how about you guys?
Yes. So we have started the elf this year, which is funny because Milan is 4. So he kind of gets that kind of thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Maya just does whatever Milan does. So literally just copies everything he says. So if he's excited about it, she's excited about it.
Yep.
And we keep up with moving it and my sister-in-law has been moving it too.
Oh,
so
that's
she'll come
nice.
Over and be like, she has remembered a couple times that I've forgotten.
Oh, but great.
It's fun hiding it. I did use it as a bit of a threat.
Yeah. How did that go over?
Don't at me. It was not a legit threat.
Well, have you seen those ornaments now that are called Santa cams? And it looks like a little camera inside an ornament.
Oh, hilarious.
That hangs on the tree.
Genius. If I had seen it, I would have it.
Yeah. If you were on Facebook, listen to prior episode of that joke goes over your head. They are all over these M2M pages, the mom Facebook groups. They are very divisive.
Well, you know, like Santa and Elf on the Shelf are divisive in general, true. Which is a funny thing like that I don't think I would have seen myself saying when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
But I remember last year I was reading about the Elf on the Shelf and someone was like, we don't like to do the regular Elf on the Shelf because it breeds this attitude of you only get things. Like, you're only doing the right thing to get things out of it.
Oh, right. Like, it's not a character thing. It's a, like,
right.
a reward
You're not
system.
Building good character. And last year when I read that, I was like, that is very true. I'm definitely going to do that. This year, like, was it November 30th or 31st or whatever is the last day of November, I was like, if you don't get in bed, Elsie is not coming. She will not be watching you, and she will not tell Santa.
Good.
And it worked then. It's worked like twice. But
has
like
it out of
that,
how many times? What is that percentage?
I don't know. Low. But it's enough. It's enough to like make him like stop and think about it. But I'm like, It's December. It's been a long year.
Right. This is like, December is like the 6:30 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's so true. It's tough. Maya's two. Two-year-olds are tough.
Yeah.
I'm just true. Like, I'll do what I can to survive.
This elf will stay up through March.
Yeah, exactly. I'll fix their character at a later date when they're older.
Yeah, we'll worry about that when they're six. Yeah. What about Santa? Do y'all do Santa?
Yeah, in so much as we use Santa to say Santa's coming. Yeah. We don't do like taking him to the store to sit on Santa's lap. But I did do a like little letter to Santa this year, which was handy in finding out what they want for Christmas. Obviously, Maya wants the same thing Milan wants.
For sure. Well, Norbeth wants a medium tree talker, which I have no idea what that is.
Oh, cool.
An actual airplane and a gumball machine. So,
low-key.
Spoiler alert, Norbeth, if you're listening, you're not getting any of those. Santa's letter got returned to sender.
I guess we should have put a warning at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like usually we're pretty family-friendly, but in the event that you do Santa and you don't want your kids to know that Santa, D-O-E-S-N apostrophe T-E-X-I-S-T.
You know, we do that whole spelling thing too, and it has really challenged my brain capacity. David will spell something and I'm like, I have no idea what you just said.
I know. And I'm very like picky about grammar, but spell it out loud and I'm like,
Well, I think it's hard as the listener, because when you're about to be the speller, you have pre-thought how to spell it. So you know what you're spelling. But as the listener, you're like, whoop, not keeping up with you. Yes. Not there.
Back it up. I'm always
it takes me like three letters to realize that it's being spelled.
I'm still like replaying that in my mind and trying to figure out if I spelled it correctly.
You did. I appreciate that you used the apostrophe.
Oh, okay. But anyway, yeah, I think before I probably had like notions of not doing it, but I don't know, it's one of these go with the flow things, like it's just a little easier to just do Santa.
You know, I felt like even last year you were more Santa light about like, oh, we're not really talking about it.
Yeah, I think so. I think this year has just changed it. Like the older they get, it's more fun.
Yeah,
like he just gets more excited and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I think growing up I underestimated how much fun it actually was to be Santa. I mean, because I'm like, you know, Santa is real.
Yes.
David and I are Santa.
Right.
And it is so much fun.
It is. It is. It is a lot of fun. And it's, I don't know. I don't see harm in doing exactly what my parents did, which is like low key. Like we also, I don't know, we might have gone to a mall to sit on Santa's lap, but I doubt it.
We didn't do Santa in a sentence.
Or birthday parties.
Santa stole our birthday parties, therefore we hated him.
My mom is going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, we'll get our first one-star review.
But no, I mean, there was one time that was cool. We went to the mountains for Christmas with my cousins, and it was like our favorite Christmas. But it's funny, my mom and my aunt, since then, I was like 10 at the time, and since then they're like, we're never doing that again. It was so much trouble.
Oh, taking everything up there?
Taking everything up there. But they rented out a cabin for us. And like my uncle like went up and did like the footsteps on the roof. And then I think he put like little imprints in the snow to look like deer. Reindeer.
Oh, that's super fun.
So that was involved. And I appreciate that. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things that's changed as the kids gotten older.
And yeah, I love that. As the kids have gotten older, we'll continue to change.
Sure. Yeah. Agreed. Well, we haven't done a What Are We Loving segment in a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've been talking about the holidays quite a bit because we love it.
That's right.
Fair. But something came up that I love this week.
Oh, tell me more.
I want to talk about. Someone hired Beyonce to perform for a pre-wedding party in India.
What? Tell me more about that because I missed it.
Yeah, well, it's new today. By the time this comes out, it won't be. Or yesterday, I don't even know. This person's like the daughter of this man who's worth $43.5 billion.
Just like us.
Yeah. It's weird that we didn't get Beyonce. Mm-hmm. But I am now dying for an Indian version of Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes. That would be incredible.
Yes. And I realize India's in Asia.
Correct.
But a subcontinent-based story would be super great right now for me. Thanks. So, Kevin Kwan, if you're listening.
If you're listening, sir.
DM me. I have some ideas for a spinoff based on the books.
I have the plot already written. That's what you did during NaNoWriMo.
Exactly. I was fan fictioning and culturally appropriating all at the same time.
Was Beyonce welcome, a star world. Feature?
there was actually like someone put up this Instagram account that I follow, Tinted or Live Tinted. I can't remember, but I'll put it in the show notes where it's put up a picture of her dress. And they were like, just getting everyone's thoughts. Is it cultural appreciation or cultural appropriation?
That's such a good question that I always am asking myself when these things come out.
Yes. Well, from when I was reading, everyone was saying, because she was wearing like Indian traditional dress for a Coldplay mm-hmm. video. And so it seemed like everyone was agreeing that for this event, it was appreciation because it was okay. an Indian wedding. And, you know, you dress for the occasion, you dress right. to respect the culture. But then the Coldplay video was appropriation.
Gotcha.
Was what I, anyway, I'll link more to that because that's not my story to tell. And I always want to turn to people who are more affected and have more to say and know what they're talking about. But
no, that's super interesting.
Yes, and I love crazy rotations. And I, oh, you, yeah. Have you read it?
Yeah, you gave it to me. I actually need to give it back to you.
Did you read the first book? You finished it?
Yeah, I loved it. Need to read the other two, but
yes, I just finished.
It took me a while
book three and then book two because that was an accident.
That's right. You did tell me that. I loved it. It took me a long time to read, not because it's hard or boring, but it's just for whatever reason, I would only get like 20 pages at a time. So it took me a long time to chew through it, but I loved it. Loved it. And can't wait to see the movie and cannot wait to read the rest of the series.
I love the movie. I'm definitely going to get it. You know what's funny I've noticed? Because reading is my favorite hobby. And it's like I can't, like, I'll finish a chapter and then I'll feel like I need to, like, take a break to play some stupid game on my phone. And I'm like, is this a product of where we're at today?
Which is something interesting to talk about later in the episode. But I agree because reading is definitely my outlet and mm-hmm. my favorite thing to do before bed mm-hmm. whenever I can. Actually, I was at the Y last week and lately I have been bringing books from my 10 book hold that I'm still working through.
Still happening.
Yes. And they're overdue now and I just don't even care. But whatever. I'm reading as many as I can. I've been reading them at the Y and like walking down the hallway reading them because I'm trying to get through them.
Oh, man.
And some lady was like,
dedication.
Yeah. Well, some lady was like, wow, what are you reading? It must be so good. And I'm like, well, it's fine. It is pretty good. But I also have three small children and I am trying to get as much reading time as I can.
If I could keep reading without interruptions. Thank you. Like,
okay. I know I'm walking down the hall and into people. I don't care. I need to read these pages.
You're not my greatest concern. I owe upwards of $3 to the library system.
But you know, pet peeve though, is when you just randomly ask somebody, who's reading a book? What are you reading? And then they tell you, and the response is, what's it about? And it's like, are you like, do I need to break the whole thing down for you? I don't know. I'm going to end up giving stuff away. It's just a book.
That is an interesting pet peeve.
It is.
I've done that to you.
It's well, but you like appreciate books. So I know that if I said like, oh, it's just kind of fluffy, whatever, you would take that. However, but yeah. This has happened to me several times recently at the Y where somebody will ask me what I'm reading and I'll tell them and it's something random and they're like, oh, what's it about? And it's like,
but, like strangers?
Yeah.
And like strangers don't talk to me. What? That's weird.
Huh, must be the difference in our faces or something. I don't know. Well, you manifested. It might start happening. Oh, wow. Yeah, lots of strangers talk to me, which is funny. You're the one who would invite small talk. I'm the one who's like, how can I answer this super
you
quickly
people
and get
are
out?
Missing out?
Yes. Ask Hannah what she's reading. She will gladly tell you about the multiverse.
Talk about the weather, please. It is so cold. No one is talking about it.
Let's talk about cultural appropriation and novels.
Yeah. It's weird that no one wants to sit down and talk about these heavy subjects real quick.
Huh. Weird. Yeah, mine is like, oh, I don't know. It's like another romance story with a girl who they might not get together and then they do. I don't know. Check it out if you want to read it.
Get out of here.
Just leave me alone. I'm already overdue.
Oh, that is so funny. I truly believe this. Because this happens a lot. Like people around me will get like weird stuff like from strangers, just in people talking to them. People do not approach me. Like, I think maybe some people put out like a friendly air and maybe I don't. Because even when I was pregnant, no one said, and I never got one rude comment, never anything that was like pushy or nosy.
Yeah.
Never. Nothing at all.
I think that maybe I put off an air where like, And by air, I mean like lingering gaze on people until they feel me looking at them and then have to say something.
Like, that's probably what happens. What are you reading? She's like, looking for someone to talk to.
Can we change this girl's attention to?
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Well, we'll post a picture of you on Instagram and do a poll. Say, if you were a stranger, would you or would you not approach her?
Would you want to talk to this person? Check yes or no. Do you remember?
Okay, when I was in college, the website, and it may still exist, maybe it's just now called Tinder, but there was the
Going
Hot
Somewhere
or Not,
Good.
Yeah, the Hot or Not website.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Gosh, that was awful. William E., who I talked about in the first episode, who I really liked in high school, he had like his own microsite online where he would rank all the girls that he was friends with in our high school and use this like attractiveness scale based on like hot, pretty, beautiful, cute, okay. And he would regularly update it. So you know what? I'm actually going to post his picture in our Instagram poll and you tell me what
his
he
picture,
is.
His social.
Yeah, all of it.
What a D-bag move, William
Yeah,
E.
but I checked it all the time.
Yeah, of course, because it's high school and college. Like, of course, I'm not like surprised. I definitely would have done that if someone had done that at our school. That definitely feels like cyberbullying.
Yeah, but like he didn't
publicize it. I don't think they had a term for it back then.
Yeah, right. I mean, because it was probably like 18 different girls, and I was so pleased when my name was on the list. Like, how ridiculous is that?
No, but I mean, that's so like, I mean, he was like a hop, skip, and a jump away from inventing Tinder, so he missed out if he's not the guy who invented Tinder.
Yeah, if William E., if you invented Tinder, you can actually at me, and we can talk again.
If you would like to advertise,
yeah,
really
we would
cool
gladly
it.
Support.
I might edit out this part. We will see, William E., it's up to you. Ball's in your court.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about our good idea topic today, which is self-care. Okay, so welcome back. We're talking about self-care. And I'm interested, Hannah, in seeing your feelings on self-care, because the term itself, I have to get past my initial visceral reaction to it, which is annoyance.
Annoyance, okay.
But I think that it was born in self-care as a term, I think is fairly new.
And yeah, I think so too.
When I first started watching The Real Housewives, like back in the very first time that it debuted in Orange County, they focused a lot on these rich moms who had people raising their kids, all of this help, and they would go and take all this me time.
Right.
And I was, one, fascinated. I'm still a huge fan of the show. I watch it all the time. But I think viscerally, I was like, look at these conceited women who have no real stress in their lives, yet are farming out real duties in order to pamper themselves.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about this concept of me time. So I feel like we have just made this me time term into one that feels more wellness based in self-care. Right. So I don't devalue it, but I think when I have a hard time talking about it, it would be like if I told you my real goal is to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could say that seriously, though. People who are actors and actresses should. They should believe in their dreams and go after them. But I feel that way when I'm like, I really need to spend more time on self-care. It doesn't sound like a serious term.
Yeah. I can see that for sure. I see what you're saying.
So clearly to me, self-care, though I have a positive feel about it, I have to fight my negative instinct. So to you, how does self-care as a term feel and how would you define it for yourself?
As a term, I guess, yeah, it's newish. It's newish to me as a person in general. I don't think I really have a negative connotation about it.
For you, then, is self-care an elimination of negative things or is it an addition of positive things?
Yes, an elimination. Sorry, yes to the first. More an elimination of negative things.
Okay.
Like when we dig down and talk about it, it's like, oh, we need to like take care of ourselves as women and moms. But I think even in that sense, I don't like think about myself first.
Yeah,
usually.
I think that that's a good point. So when I I feel like when self-care is talked about, at least in the circles that I am engaged in, it's more like an addition of something pampering or indulgent or luxurious. But when I was kind of going through my list in preparation for recording this episode, I felt like, similarly to you, my modes of self-care, I put it in quotes, are ways to minimize my own stress, but they aren't necessarily filling me as much as they are just eliminating things that would make me feel worse.
Okay. So like an example.
So like self-care tonight was, well, last night I stayed up late to order groceries for the girls' birthday party that's coming up this weekend versus trying to take them with me to the store to get everything and then going to pick them up tonight after the girls' bedtime and bring them home. And that felt like, oh, this is self-care because look, I'm spending time alone. Really what that was eliminating the larger stress that would be trying to do that with children in tow.
Right. To me, that's more like a logical way of checking items off of a to-do list.
Correct. But to me, it felt like, ooh, look at me. I'm really fulfilling myself. Or like meal prep is...
Is
a big one. Do I enjoy it? Yeah. I mean, I do. I do like to meal prep, but I do is my motivation because I will then eliminate a later stress,
so to speak.
Yeah. Like, is it because I love to cook? I think that is an actual self-care. It is something that I enjoy doing. It fills my cup. It is a joyful thing for me. Mm-hmm. But the meal prep part probably should not be defined in self-care because it's just preparation.
Right. And it is not largely for you.
Correct. And I do think that that's interesting as parents figuring out the balance, or I guess as women, what is solely for us as human beings versus what is for the betterment of the household. There's a Friends episode, I'm sure you will know it, in which Phoebe and Ross fight the whole time about whether you can actually do something selfless.
Yes. That is such an interesting episode. It's Joey.
Oh, it's Joey. That's right. Sorry. Oh, sorry, friends, if you're listening.
oh, they're listening.
But I do think that it is hard because I'm like, okay, am I actually doing something for me or am I doing it for everybody else? And where is myself? Where does myself actually get defined?
Right. So what? So you like to read.
Yes.
Do you consider like the time that you take, like, do you even get time to read in the day typically? Like you say,
not
like,
during the day,
right?
Not
like
during the day. Yeah. At night I do. I make sure I do. That's how I fall asleep every night.
So do you consider that self-care at all?
Yes. That to me is self-care because it serves no other purpose than for my enjoyment.
Yeah, me too. I definitely see reading as self-care. For me, self-care means taking stock of my mental well-being.
I like that.
So like I've realized lately, I think I've talked about this before, how important it is for me to be in the gym every day. Not
okay,
because
this is a
I'm
good
some
one.
Like I'm not like one of these people who like you would put up an Instagram photo and be like, oh, I can tell she's in the gym every
well, we
day.
We are going to put up an Instagram photo. We will see.
It's probably why they're not talking to me. They're so
so
intimidated. By my fitness.
She clearly indulges in self-care.
Yeah,
I see
she
that.
Could fight me. No, but it's so important for my mental health. And I didn't realize that until recently when I was just starting to feel so frazzled every day. And I was getting so snappy with the kids. And I just was like, it's like 9 a.m. I don't understand why I'm suddenly snappy. Like I shouldn't be this snappy this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it's been so busy. I have not been on my regular gym schedule. And that truly has an effect on me. And like I can't even go typically. I don't even like to do classes because even that is like something else to remember. And we covered like everything we have to remember last week, right? About mental load.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
well, working out is definitely one of mine. And for the same reason, I want to tune out. I don't want somebody telling me what to do.
Exactly.
I don't want to remember a schedule. I don't want to become territorial over a spot in a classroom. Like, I don't want any of that.
Yes, that's a good part. That's a good point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I do have my preferred equipment at the gym, but I feel like...
Get out of my spot.
Yeah, please, especially one man who is always on my elliptical. but it is... Ultimately, I have to remember that I'm doing it for myself as much as sometimes it feels like an obligation, but I can feel the I can feel the drain if I neglect working out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I try and listen really well to, like, if my body, like lately I have not been in looking forward to my strength training routine. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out like what I'm going to do next. Like if I'm going to switch up and do like more cardio and yoga and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. Like just kind of whatever I want to do when I get there.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like for me working out it in this season, I'm really not pushing myself the way that I should be or challenging myself the way that I should be. But I almost use it as let me be active and move and get some endorphins while I can also do something else that is fully indulgent.
You're like multitasking.
In a way. Yeah, like I'm reading or looking at a trashy magazine or watching Bravo while I'm also getting some endorphins. And
right.
At this point in life, you and I have had this conversation. I shower and get dressed at the gym because it is so much more enjoyable than trying to do it or figuring out how to fit it in with kids awake or when they're asleep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting because I don't know that non-parents or at least of young kids would say, way to go you for investing in your self-care by showering right. at the gym.
Right, exactly. I think self-care looks different for a lot of people. And one of the tough things is if you haven't walked that same road as someone else, you're not going to recognize, like a lot of people, like a lot of women, moms, typically, moms more so I would say than other people are very congratulatory, like, oh, good job. You're going to the gym. Just in like, it's like a pat on the back, you know, they're like, oh, good for you for getting there. I think that's because they like know what life is like as a mom. Mm-hmm. So like they know that like more, you know what I mean? Like, it's more like they're like, oh, I get you. So I feel like I can
get it.
Right. But there are a lot of other women who like, you know, women who don't have kids, women who have older kids. And like, for instance, I don't know what self-care looks like to them. So I'm not out here saying, hey, good for you. I don't know what it would be.
When you got your nails done or
yes,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because that is good for you. But like, we don't like know where everyone is at in life. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? So
yeah,
like, we
it does.
Can't support each other as much.
Well, and I think, too, because I frame it in this first season of Real Housewives way of self-care needs to be something that you spend money on for yourself, which isn't true.
Right.
But that's how I tend to define it as getting your nails done. David is super into these float sessions at these float rooms.
Yeah.
And he really likes massages. So I know if I want to get him something, I can get him that because he is able to completely go and unplug at these things where for me, I have a hard time spending money on myself in a way that also usually requires getting a babysitter.
Yep.
And feels like I can go without feeling guilt or anxiety
at
the same time.
Yeah, because you feel like when you, like, say you get a massage, like when you come home, you still have to go right back into momming small children.
Yes. And I feel like I have to be very aware of the time because, you know, I budgeted X amount and there's childcare involved or I'm putting someone else out by not being there quickly. It like last week, my mom and I went to the Ballantine Resort for this annual, they do this hot chocolate and hot toddies event. Mm-hmm. If you are local and listening to this before Christmas, they still have it and you should go. It's lovely. And we always go, usually my sister is with us, but we went by ourselves and I had a sitter. But even then, as much as I had hired the sitter to give my kids dinner and put them to bed, I still found myself checking in and feeling like I had to be home at a certain time.
Right.
And it was like, okay, this is why I don't do things, because as enjoyable as it was still this underscore of guilt about these things.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that lately too, because I went to get a facial at this place over here in Charlotte and I really liked it. And my sister-in-law gave me a gift certificate for my birthday and it was great. And I really want to go back, but then I'm like, it's going to be really relaxing. They do 30-minute facials and it's super, like, I loved it. But then I'm like, I still have to go. Like, I was trying to picture when I would book it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll book it for during the day and then I'll come home. And then within seconds, I'll be sweating because, like, the kids will be all over me or just something. It's just not, like, relaxing to me. Like, to me, that's not self-care. To me, self-care is, like, I spent this whole weekend reading 2 books.
That's excellent.
And I napped twice.
Wow, that sounds very wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And the whole time I kept thinking I could be doing so many other things. And mm-hmm. I'm actually a little bit behind this week, but I'm feeling really good this week. You know what I mean? Like my mind is like in a good place. And being that I love writing, you kind of have to stop doing your own writing and read other people's work to get more inspired. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, I have not been reading for a little while because I was trying to do all this other writing. And now I'm like, I got to take a break and see what else is out there. And that's really inspiring to me as well. So it really filled that cup for me.
Yeah. And ultimately that benefits things that are less in the realm of self-care and more in the realm of work. But there is still enjoyment in it, maybe.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole point, too, is that you can't pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, at the base of it, it is self-care. But if you are fulfilled, you are doing your best work ever else in life, at work, for your family, at home, whatever it is. If you're just at the end of your rope and you're not taking care of yourself, everyone who is connected to you in some way is going to suffer and you're going to suffer.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that I know and recognize a need for. I think I struggle so much just in life, and maybe it's just in this era societally that we're in with definitions. I mean, I don't know if we've addressed this yet. Maybe we'll address it later, maybe not at all. But as a working mom, but also a stay-at-home mom, I wrestle very much with the definition of, am I a stay-at-home mom? Am I a working mom? Am I a working mom? And I feel that way even with self-care, that almost puts too much pressure on me. Where if I didn't know the term at all, I don't know that I would spend time wondering if I were doing it right or enough.
Yeah.
But because it's this buzzword, I'm like, oh, does this define self-care?
Yeah.
Or how am I investing in myself? Where I don't think prior generations, for better or worse, thought about it.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. It's like birthday parties.
Just like birthday parties. How do you think people who may be listening and feeling like, ugh, I can't even identify what is self-care. How do you make time for it? What do you feel like are some real elementary ways that somebody can start and feel like, okay, here are the self-care 101?
I actually read something really good, which I'll link to in the show notes.
Okay.
About like strategies for self-care. But I think the main takeaway is the analogy that when you're on an airplane, they always tell you to put on your breathing mask first and then everyone around you. And you think like, what? That's so selfish. But it's not selfish. Like if you're like passed out somewhere, you can't help anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So you like self-care is not a selfish act is the first thing. Like, and I think for women and for moms, typically putting ourselves first feels selfish because we're supposed to not be that way.
Yep.
And then also about saying no.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have that point as well.
It's easy to just say yes to everything and feel like, I mean, even with us in the like preschool stuff, you know, we didn't, it's not even like someone asked us a yes or no question and we were like, yes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think that's like largely based on us feeling, like we said, we feel like we need to do that. Like we should do that.
But it's also fulfilling. Right.
So
for me,
oh, yes, I did do that for all of you.
Yeah,
but
you're welcome.
I also have spent like a lot of time being like, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You know what I mean? It's like another thing on my mind. So it's kind of like the balance of like, I'm not saying I regret being room mom. I'm just saying it definitely, it's just another thing to examine. Like, should I have said no to that? Or like, will I say no the next time?
Yeah, I think that is a good point, too, of even figuring out what the motivation is behind it. Like I really love taking baths. That's what I'll do at night, even like late. I'll go take a bath. And that's when I read. Sometimes I get mad at myself because I'll come to the end of my bath and realize all I've done is watch Insta stories. But what actually I love more is reading. But there, the other night I was like, oh, I guess I'll go take a bath. And I'm like, what? Like that's supposed to be the thing that you enjoy. Why are you doing that? But even like these class parties, because I wrestle with this working mom, stay-at-home mom definition, I'm like, okay, what is my motivation behind doing that? Is it because I love to provide snacks for the teacher's brunch, which I'm doing tomorrow? Yes, I do love to do that. Or is it because I feel like I just need to check the box of, as an involved parent, here is what you do. And so I think that self-care, at least for me, is coming out of something that I am doing because it truly motivates my spirit to do it. Like I would be bummed out if I missed the opportunity to do that.
That's a good point. That's a good thing to sit with. It's like, what is this? Yeah, I like that. That was really good. I don't even have anything to add to that. Here's what I would say for as far as saying no, I have taken a lot of time to think about, like, what do I say no to, mm-hmm. like, in general. Like, there are a lot of things now that I, like, absolutely say no to, which really help my mental state of mind. Like, yeah. I absolutely say no to birthday parties that are not, like, right here in the commune.
Yeah.
Unless it's like last year, Milan had like two close friends and mm-hmm. we went to their birthday parties. There would be extenuating circumstances if it was someone who I really felt we should go or something like that.
Right.
Like close friends of the family or like, you know, everyone sees those like sob stories that go around yes. saying, no kid came to my party. Ugh.
That's what I always worry about.
Extremely conflicted about anyway, because I'm like, everyone has a party. Like, you've got a party yes. every weekend. Like,
you really do.
It's tough. And I, like, my heart breaks for kids like that. I would show up in a heartbeat if that happened. But, like, I actively do not want to be there. I don't want to spend, like, I also only plan a maximum of one thing per weekend. That is a big thing because I realize that when we have something Saturday and Sunday, I'm just like, no, like, if everyone is like, oh, can we do something, blah, 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 I refuse to plan more than one thing.
That's an excellent boundary and kind of countercultural because I feel like,
right,
at least in the office, every Monday is, what did you do this weekend? Mm-hmm. And then even as early as Wednesday, the question is, what are you doing this weekend? And it's almost like yeah. this expectation that because it's a weekend, therefore you have a lot or should have a lot to do.
Yeah.
But I love that parameter of we're doing one thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One thing. And I don't hate if that thing gets canceled.
Ugh, I never hate if anything gets canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like professionally that you can say no as much as you feel like you should say no? Do you understand what I'm asking? Like if you...
Yeah, I basically never say no professionally. Well, that's not true. I feel a much smaller margin in my ability to say no to things professionally. Than I would personally, like based on my preference. Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Why, like, what would be your reasons for feeling like you couldn't say no?
Professionally, I feel like it reflects more of how someone would professionally know my character. Like,
okay.
Oh, she's saying no, therefore she's not a team player or she's not a hard worker
right.
she's not willing to go the extra mile. I do feel more comfortable saying no to things that are in direct conflict with priorities that I've already put in place with my family. So there are a lot of weeknight events that I'll say no to. And there are a lot mm-hmm. of last minute things that will pop up that I try to accommodate, but I also don't wear myself out trying to accommodate them. If it means getting childcare and 24 hours notice, I will probably text you and one paid sitter and see
yeah.
if they can. And if not, you know, I can say childcare didn't work out. But there are, you know, one of my clients I work for, I'm on call for them 10 to 1 every day. But almost any time a conference call request comes up at 3:30 or 4, I take it, even though it's not convenient. Yeah. It's not in my agreed upon time. But I don't want to start feeling anyone to see me saying no is a reflection of my character as an employee.
Yeah, that's a tough call because it's not fair.
No.
At all. But it's just like the way it is. I mean, I women have more to prove anyway, to prove that we deserve to be paid the same amount. So.
Well, today I was on my way with all three kids uptown to a client who had been late to pay me and us and went to pick up the check. It was in uptown and I really didn't want to park in a parking garage and get all three girls out of the car just to go pick up this check and get back in the car and pay for parking and all of this. So yeah. I'm texting like, hey, is anyone there that can run this out to the sidewalk for me? At the same time, I was also on a conference call outside of my normal business hours. The kids were not, I don't know if yours are like this, but it's like the minute I get on the phone, they either assume that yes. I'm talking to my mom or my sister and immediately start like trying to get in on the conversation, yep. like all of it.
Phone calls are super, super annoying with kids.
Yes. And maybe we were that obnoxious when our parents were on the phone, but I also think we saw them on the phone talking a lot more. So it wasn't.
Right. It was more normal. Yeah. It wasn't like FaceTime with Nana and Poppy.
Yeah. Like now I feel like being on the phone is an event that they are part of. And
right,
it
yeah.
wasn't when we were growing up.
Yeah.
So I'd coach them, like, do not talk to me when I'm on this call.
Yeah.
We're in the car. I'd planned being in the car because I felt like they would be a little bit better. But of course, like on while I'm on the call, they're fighting in the back about how not to be loud for me.
Oh,
like,
no.
One of, like, Jane Ellis would cry, and she's, you know, 5 months, so she has no concept.
Yeah.
And then Anna Blair would be like, no, Jane. And then Norbeth would yell at Anna Blair, like, Mommy said be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. So I was just.
They're both being like, I'm doing what Mommy said.
Oh, they both said, I'm the quietest. And so meanwhile, I'm on this call, like, muting and unmuting constantly.
Right.
And they'd be like, Caroline, what do you think about that? And I'd have to check to see if I was muted or not, and then talk and be like, stern look in the rearview mirror. And I'm like, this is what you get because I said, yes, folks, enjoy it. Yeah,
exactly. This is not my 10 to 1 hours.
But frankly, if you call me dear my 10 to 1 hours, it may or may not be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. This is what you get with me.
Yeah. Do you feel any kind of pushback from people when you try to exert those boundaries?
I feel like mostly I have put that on myself in that I was talking, I might have talked about this before, but I was talking to one of our mutual friends about saying no to something, a birthday party. And I just found myself over explaining to her like why it's just a lot to say yes to all these things. And she was like, you sound like you're like standing up for yourself. Why are you doing that? And I was like, am I? I am. And she was like, just say no. It doesn't matter. And that was like really freeing for me to hear that from someone else.
That is freeing because I do always feel like I know the no is a complete sentence. I agree with that. I get it. But I do feel like I need to over explain. Though when someone's over explaining their no to me, I'm immediately like, okay, well, you're probably lying to me. You don't want to come.
Yeah, that's true. When you like explain it so much, it goes back to that thing that I've said before that Tina Fey says, like when you like go and stand up for yourself, the more you stand up for yourself, the less authentic you seem anyway. And so it's almost like you just need to like DGAF and say, nope.
Yeah.
Can't
what
make
are,
it.
What are those words? What are those letters? Well, I found a great article. It was in Forbes, so I feel like it's legit. We'll link in the show notes. But one of the things it says is that self-care is not an indulgence. It's a discipline, and it requires tough-mindedness and a deep personal understanding of your priorities and a respect for yourself and the people you spend your life with. So like an example that they give, and I related to this so much better than my own definition of self-care, which is turning off the TV instead of watching another episode because the alarm is going off at 5 and your priority is to go to the gym. Declining the second drink at a holiday party and maybe even declining the first drink.
Mm-hmm.
Saying no to the thing you don't want to do, even if someone is going to be angry at you.
That's good. I would have a hard time with that.
Maintaining financial independence, doing work that matters, and letting other people take care of themselves.
That is a heavy one.
It is. I will still have to unpack that for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it says basically the point of the article is self-care is actually kind of boring. Like we all did it intuitively before it became a thing because it is some of the more basic things that we don't even recognize, like turning off the TV instead of watching another episode.
Yeah.
Because I would feel like, oh, no, I need to watch this episode because look how much self-care I have. Like I'm enjoying doing this. So therefore, I must do that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Well, and one thing I was reading as well was talking about like self-care is not like eating your feelings.
Oh,
because
yeah.
you like really need to like take care of like taking care of your body is literally self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so and I thought that was really good because I do for sure eat my feelings, like which is new to being a parent. Like if I'm having a stressful day, for sure, I'm like picking out on junk food or like an extra glass of wine.
I hear you. Well, one of these things that it says is taking care of yourself in a way that doesn't require you to indulge in order to restore balance is self-care.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's along similar lines. I think your article you're talking about is way more credible. the other things that were in there, I was like, I don't know.
But I also don't want to discount going back to what we said earlier, just because I don't enjoy getting a massage. Well, I enjoy getting a massage, but just because the wrappings of a massage or getting my nails done is not great for me at this stage of life. I do not want to discount anybody who like that is
for
your
sure.
thing.
For sure. And I think that's what I was trying to get at earlier as well, is that like, I don't know what that looks like for you until... Mm-hmm. I talked to you about it. Like, I was going to bring this up. My best friend, Amanda, back when I was in like my newborn days of having a newborn,
yeah.
Yep. she would text me and like check in, and then she would say like, and how is your mind? Like, how are you emotionally? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Again, and that speaks to like when you've like walked the path that someone's been down before, you know, like what are the pitfalls and stuff, like what they need to watch out for. But it just helped to have someone like get there first and be like checking in on me. So I think the thing is like to have this conversation more, mm-hmm. you know? So like, if I know, like, you know what? I wonder if Caroline like got to read some today or something. Like if you're mm-hmm. checking in the same way that you would with a workout buddy.
Right.
You know, and you would say like, hey, did you get to the gym today? Like, how are you doing? Have you hit your goals? Like this needs to be like a scheduled goal, like blocked off on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that actually. I was going to talk about that too. I blocked off some reading time last week.
Oh,
or,
nice.
Like, Thursday or Friday night. Cause I was like, I had put a bunch of holds on at the library, which I was aware of all of them.
Okay. Well, you're welcome.
And they just all came in. I'm like, and I really, towards the end of the year, you know, everyone starts to put out like best of lists. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've got to get my hands on these books. So they all came in and I'm like, I just want to spend some time reading. And I did. I just like blocked it out. And when, even though like, it's not like a public calendar, like this is my personal calendar. It's not like other people are sitting here like, when can I schedule time?
Yeah.
But I know it's there. And like, it needs, if it's a priority, like you need to treat it like a meeting with a client or like, you know, your kid's schedule or anything else. Like this is that important, I think.
That's so convicting to me. And it makes me think about, you know, we love the Dave Ramsey system of finances and, mm-hmm. you know, how budgeting is not just figuring out what to do with what's left over. If you have anything left over. But I do think that that's how I schedule. I don't schedule the gym like that. It's just assume that we go. But like mm-hmm. reading time or anything extra, I'm like, okay, well, whatever I have left over before I fall asleep. But that's a really good point to still prioritize it the same way.
Yeah. And it's definitely true that on the day, I think I can't remember, I might have just done it one day. But on that day, I was like, it's 9 o'clock. It's reading time. Or whatever time it was. It just helps. Like, I'm obsessed with having my calendar, like, very specifically laid out. And it just helps for me because then I, you know, have it pop up. And it's like, you have 15 minutes until you have to be at the gym. And I'm like, all right, we got to go.
Everybody get in the car.
The calendar says it. And that kind of thing is just really, it's a push for me. So if, you know, and I think that it's the same for a lot of people. If we're blocking it out, it will be a good push. So I think, you know, have these conversations and check in with your friends and be like, so what do you do? Like, what do you need to do to make sure you are getting your, like, you're in the right mind space?
That's such a good idea to have a self-care accountability partner.
And accountability partner. That's the word.
We can label things. I actually have three friends that when we finish this recording, I'm going to send that exact text to because I think it's good. We are very able to talk the nitty gritty of like the mundane, some of the more mundane parenting things.
Right.
And we will check in like, how's everybody doing? But unless there's something noteworthy, I don't know that we're ever like, here's what you need to do. We cheer for each other when we do have something fun planned.
Yeah. I think it takes more, like, it's definitely the same thing. Like I do that with like my friends too. I'm like, oh, I got to do whatever today, but it's not like I'm not usually checking in unless someone has said, I really want to make it a goal. Can you keep me accountable? And Amanda does that sometimes. Like we do that with each other. So I don't know. I think we need to reach out and be more commune-like.
Yes.
with everyone.
Let's do that. Well, we really want to hear from you guys how you either schedule self-care or what feels like self-care to you. Is it an added indulgence? Is it just something built into the rhythm of your life? What helps fulfill you and keep your equilibrium intact?
Yeah, we might find some new ideas.
Yeah, and we would be happy to share them when you give them to us.
Yeah, exactly. Sharing is caring.
Well, that brings us to the end of our self-care discussion, I think.
Yep.
When we come back, we will be talking about what sounded like a good idea at the time. Okay, we are back to talk about what sounded like a good idea at the time. And we just came off of an ice storm. I don't even know if I could call it an ice storm, but a slush storm here in town.
Disgusting. For us, some people got snow and ice.
Yeah, where David's restaurant, they got like 10 inches of snow. Even just a few miles from here, people got snow. But
right. It's just like our neighborhood.
Yeah, whatever. But we kept power, so that was a huge win.
Yeah, true.
Except we congratulated ourselves so much on the slush day that we did not turn on the TV until 4 p.m. And we kept everybody engaged and having mostly fun.
Yeah, that was
all
really
day.
Cool.
because we kind of thought that we would turn on the TV earlier and like make it a Christmas movie day, but we did a lot of baking. But we'd had this idea that we would bring the air mattress in and blow it up in our living room and turn on a Christmas movie and do popcorn and whatever. We'd hyped it up all day. We'd had a couple of meltdowns about it, that it wasn't time yet.
Oh,
and
we
finally decided to blow it up and get a Christmas movie turned on. And right at that moment, we lost our Wi-Fi. And since we stream and we don't have cable, the girls were on the bed with their popcorn, with blankets, and we had nothing to turn on. And we're like, wait, we're going to turn something on. And then it was like, no, stop jumping. No, just stay still. No, we're going to get this
movie on. Let me explain to you how Wi-Fi works.
I know. And we're like, what? What are we doing? Why did we not think about this? Why did this ever sound like a good idea? Because we were all just short with each other.
Yeah.
Finally, David unearthed like this old hotspot that he had that we got Netflix running on. But it was like the 30 minutes that they were on the air mattress, then it had lost its appeal. And we were like, let me take one good picture for Instagram. And then this is not what it was supposed to be. It ended up being really fun. But in the moment, I'm like, why did I ever think that this was going to be a good idea? This was terrible.
It looked like a good idea when you texted me about it. So
yeah, well, I encourage anyone else to do it, but make sure that you can actually watch what you have built all day that you are going to watch.
I know. I was like, well, when you texted me about that, I'm like, do I even have physical DVDs? I have all the Friends seasons.
Oh, well, then learning starts early.
Toddler appropriate. Yeah, along those same lines, I thought it would be like Milan just wasn't sleeping well Saturday night. We were supposed to get our snow. Sunday morning, and he woke up sometime in the middle of the night, and I got him back in bed, and then I peeked outside, and it was like there was a beautiful layering of snow.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So I creeped up back in his room, and I'm like, hey, look outside, there's snow on the ground. And he looked outside, and it was the cutest thing. He was so excited, and he's like, snow.
Aww.
And it was like a movie. It was so cute, and I'm like just overjoyed at his adorable little reaction. And then like the next month, like he was out and he was like, I can play it in the morning. It didn't stop raining all
day.
It was miserable. And all day he kept saying, is it going to snow yet? When's it going to start snowing? And I felt like a jerk.
Yeah. Way to go.
I had like any control over it. But try to explain to your kids that you don't have control over something. Like that's ultimately useless. And I'm like, I don't really know. Like it's such a fine line of like, what should you not tell them and what should you tell them? Because like his blessed little hopes got raised for nothing.
Norbeth has been asking me every day because this morning on the way to preschool, it was snowing. And so then when I picked her up, she's like, is it snowing
for 5 minutes? Yeah.
I'm like, no. But I've gotten to the point with like getting their hopes up and talking about things where like the air mattress, we were going to blow up the air mattress, turn on a movie, pop popcorn, make hot chocolate, like all of these things. So of course they wanted to do them all at one time. And I have started saying, how many things can I do at one time? Like, as this should be rhetorical question or answer of one. And Norbeth like very seriously held up 7 fingers and said 7. And I was like, well, I'm glad that I've taught you that I can do that, but no.
Yeah. Also, Norbeth, if you wouldn't mind giving a quick listen to the mental load episode.
Yeah, I'll turn that on for you and you will love it.
Yeah, it's just tough. Like, they literally think we can do anything. And
you can manifest snow right now if you could just focus your mind, Hannah.
Right. I'm like, I would do it for you.
Conjure a blizzard.
I know. And other people got, so I don't know how like our little pizza slice of Charlotte did not get snow, but
nothing.
Whatever. At least we'll I don't know. We're tempering expectations, I guess.
Yeah. Here, learn early, kids. Get your hopes up high.
Exactly.
Realize that life will
this
never meet it.
This is what life is like. Disappointment.
That's right. Yeah, that hope sounded good.
The time.
Oh man. Well, we hope that if you celebrate Christmas, you are having a very Merry Christmas before we drop here again soon. If you haven't already, go follow us on Instagram. We are at A Good Idea Pod.
Yeah, we want to hear from you, and we love connecting, and we both love talking to people, even though it only seems like 50% of us do.
Or that people like to talk to us. So if you see me out, ask me what
Don't
book
talk
I'm
to
reading.
Caroline. Talk to me.
But what we do both love is reading your reviews. So
yes, exactly.
Hop on over, leave us a rating, a review, and share us with your friends.
Yep, my friend Amy did this today and came up with a real rad name, and I'm not gonna say what it is. You have to go look and leave a review to find out.
Thanks, Amy. We appreciate you.
Yes, exactly. We'll see you next week.